Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church in Duncanville, Texas. Today is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. Today we conclude our sermon series, Acting Like the Church, exploring the beginnings of the church in the book of Acts. Join us now for our message, Peter Unchained. Good morning and welcome to worship here at Trinity United Methodist Church in Duncanville, Texas. I'm Jane Grainer. I'm the senior pastor.
I'm Wesley McCall. I'm the music director.
And you may have noticed that we have someone new this morning join us. Please welcome our new pianist, Luke Colbert. We're very excited to have him. He's a very talented musician, and I think he's going to be a great addition to our worship gang here at Trinity UMC. I want to make a few announcements, but first I wanted to remind you, if you have any kind of prayer request, a joy or a concern or a blessing, just post that to Facebook, and we'll get to that as we go to our prayer time later on in the service. And if you haven't given anything during this week, I invite you during this hour to make an offering to the ministry of this church. You can do that through the website or the Church Center app. Now, a few announcements. Just remember for those who have been part of the Disciplines Sunday morning class that is ongoing. It's on 9:30 Sunday mornings via Skype. And if you'd like to be a part of the Disciplines Sunday School class, then just contact Mo Tanner. And also, the White Fragility Study on Sunday mornings will be continuing via Zoom in the near future. So please contact Evelyn Glass for all the details about being part of the wrap-up of that study. They have three sessions left in this Sunday morning study. But just to let you know, because I've been encouraging everyone to read at least one book on race this year, sometime during the fall, I want to have a church-wide event so we can discuss white fragility together as a congregation. So this gives you two opportunities then to study this particular book. I also wanted to remind y'all...
To turn off your cell phone.
To turn off my cell phone. Okay, Anyway, excuse me for that. But I also have a very important announcement to come. Many of you have been telling me that you really miss seeing each other. Many of you have also said that you really miss having the sacrament of communion. So we're going to have a very special worship service on August 2nd. That's the first Sunday in August. It's going to be here at the church, an in-person communion service outside near the playground area. And so I invite everyone to come and be part of this in-person communion service. It's going to be very short, not more than a half an hour, but I do encourage you to bring a lawn chair. We also are going to be taking up a food collection for Duncanville Outreach Ministries, and we'll have more about what food they're looking for later in the newsletter. But it's going to be a short communion service. Please wear masks. We will be social distancing, but it will give us a chance to see each other face to face and to actually be able to share the sacrament together in a way that we haven't been able to do in months. Now, it is a little bit difficult to get back there at for the 9 o'clock service because of the grass, and there's no pavement back there. So if you want to join along with us online, this service as well, we're going to stream live on Facebook. And I invite you to share your communion elements at home. And so if you could just gather bread, as well as either your choice, grape juice or wine, since it's your own home, you can have whichever one you wish. So just have the elements there ready for you, and you can join in communion with us live via Facebook as we're streaming. We'll still have the same service as usual at 11 o'clock here in the sanctuary. So it gives you a chance to worship in person with us at 9 o'clock and then our normal Facebook streaming worship service at 11. And so now let us go into a spirit of worship and prayer.
Our opening psalm for this morning is from Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Kings of the earth and of all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and young women alike, old and young together, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and all the heavens. He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him, praise the Lord. Our opening prayer for this morning. God of the universe, we are grateful for the beauty and diversity of your creation. We are grateful for home and for church, for friends and family. Free us from all the chains that might hold us back. Help us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. Be with us this hour as we hear your Spirit calling. Amen.
And now, even though we cannot be together in the same space, we are together in the same time, so I wish you peace be with you.
And also with you. Prayer for illumination this morning. Holy God, author of the Word made flesh, open us to your Holy Spirit, that as Scripture is spoken and your Word is proclaimed, we may be comforted, convinced, and changed to the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We have three scripture readings this morning. The first is from Acts chapter 1. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up on a cloud, and it took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken away from you into heaven, will come in to say the same way as you saw him go into heaven. From Hebrews chapter 4. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And our final reading is from Acts chapter 12. About that time, King Herod laid violent hands upon some who belonged to the church. He had James, the brother of John, killed with a sword. After he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the festival of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he put him in prison and handed him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending to bring him out to the people after the Passover, where Peter was kept in prison. The church prayed fervently to God for him. The very night before Herod was going to bring him out, Peter, bound with two chains, was sleeping between two soldiers, while guards in front of the doors were keeping watch over the prison. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He tapped Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly," and the chains fell off his wrists. The angel said to him, "Fasten your belt and put on your sandals." He did so. Then he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around and follow me." Peter went out and followed him. He did not realize that what was happening with the angel's help was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. After they had passed the first and the second guard, they came before the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went outside and walked along a lane, when suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hands of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." As soon as he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many had gathered and were praying. When he knocked at the outer gate, a maid named Rhoda came out to answer. On recognizing Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the gate, she ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You are out of your mind," but she insisted that it was so. They said, "It is his angel." Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the gate, they saw him and were amazed. He motioned to them with his hand to be silent and described for them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he added, "Tell this to James and to the believers." Then he left and went to another place. When morning came, there was no small commotion among the soldiers over what had become Peter. When Herod had searched for him and could not find him, he examined the guards and ordered them to be put to death. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. In my family, I was the youngest of four. With mom and dad, that made six. Six people crammed into a Buick four-door sedan for 3 days as we drove as a family to Washington, D.C. Twice. In the olden days, families with children rarely took an airplane to their vacation. It was driving or nothing, even if it was cross-country. And we didn't have minivans or SUVs. You might have a station wagon, but not my family. For entertainment, we had AM radio, which outside of the big cities is useless. No laptops, no iPads, no DVDs, Blu-rays, or Game Boys. We didn't even have an 8-track tape deck. You might be able to read, but I was always too prone to motion sickness for that to be much help to me. So for hours on end, we would play a game called Beetle Tweedle. 1 point for every Volkswagen bug that you spotted, 2 points if it was red. I am not sure how we survived these vacations without massive family therapy upon our return. So I ask you, what is a question or a statement made by children on a car trip that irritates parents the most?
Are we there yet?
Oh, I have a question.
I'm hungry.
I have a question, though. Are you the one driving the car?
I was only 8 years old, so at the time I was not the one driving the car. But if I were...
Slow down.
Yeah, I know. One of the ones, I'm sure one of y'all said this, is how much longer? Well, how much longer is relative. It always depends on the trip. If you're traveling an hour, you might tell your kids that you're almost there when there's only 5 minutes left. If you've been in the car all day long, it might be considered almost there when you're down to your last hour. But if you've been on the road for days, almost there could mean just the last afternoon you're in the car. Well, just before Jesus ascended to heaven, the disciples asked him a similar type of question. Lord, is this the time when you'll restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, while there was a wide variety of thought among first century Jews about who or what the Messiah might be or what the Messiah might accomplish, the most popular view was the Messiah was going to be this great military leader from the house of David who would drive out the Romans, restore the political kingdom of Israel. And this reestablishment of Israel would bring in a golden age where all the peoples of the world, even the Romans, would acknowledge the God of Israel as the Lord of the universe. So just as children on a road trip keep asking, are we there yet? How much longer? So too the disciples were asking, are you going to restore the nation of Israel now? Now are you going to be the Messiah that we've been waiting for? Are you now going to proclaim yourself king? God's children were just waiting for all the waiting to be over. What they didn't realize is that the car that they were in was never going in the direction that they anticipated. And in one sense, the car was already there. This was their destination. The inbreaking of the kingdom of God had begun with the incarnation of Christ and the birth of Jesus of Nazareth. It had continued to build as Jesus went about his earthly ministry. From now on, the remaining 11 of Jesus' closest disciples will be called apostles, which literally means one who is sent out. The apostles were now commissioned to continue the work until God brought it all to fruition in a future time, as Jesus said, that the Father has set by his own authority. The ascension is the enthronement of King Jesus as ruler of creation. And just as royal heralds would in ancient times go through the countryside proclaiming the coronation of the new king, Jesus sends out his disciples, his apostles, as witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We could say that Jesus was just passing the baton of church leadership to the apostles, just as we passed this very baton last year in the transition between Pastor Debbie and myself. Wesley had some doubts about whether or not I should have a baton next to him so closely during our morning worship service.
With good reason.
With good reason. But nonetheless, we have all become part of a cosmic relay race to spread the good news of the gospel and the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. Since Ascension Sunday, which was last May 24th, we've been exploring the history of the early church as recorded in the biblical book of Acts. Now, from here on, Acts will follow the story of the Apostle Paul, while we will be leaving the book of Acts for the book of Exodus starting next week. But our foray into Acts has allowed us to witness the power of the Holy Spirit and the way that the early church was able to succeed and grow despite all expectations to the contrary. I mean, really, think about it. What was the likelihood that any movement would survive its founder being executed like a common criminal? This was something that only God could do. As you recall, the writer of Acts is Luke, and he tells us that the ascension or the enthronement of Jesus happened 40 days after the resurrection. Now, as you may know, the number 40 is just dripping with biblical symbolism. 40 represents a time of preparation. Moses spent 40 days on Mount Sinai receiving the law from God. The Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years before they entered the promised land. Jesus fasted for 40 days in preparation for his earthly ministry. And so for the last 40 days between Christ's resurrection and ascension, Jesus has prepared his disciples to be apostles and to lay the foundation of the church. 10 days after the ascension, Jesus will be sending his Spirit to empower the apostles to go out and change the world. Well, being enthroned in heaven, however, is not the end of Christ's ministry. Christ now takes on the office not only of king, but also of high priest. The Hebrew priest served as an emissary, a go-between, intermediating the distance separating the human from the divine. The people could not approach God directly, so the priest represented the people to God and represented God to the people. Only once a year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies. That's the innermost chamber of the temple, where it was believed that God's very presence dwelled. There the priest would sprinkle blood from the sacrifice upon the Ark of the Covenant. But now Christ has bridged that distance. Our first clue was when the veil of the temple that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple sanctuary, was torn in two at the moment that Christ died on the cross. Now Christ is constantly in the presence of God, God the Father, continuing the mission of intermediating for us and for our salvation. Moreover, as our text from Hebrews reminds us, our high priest is able to sympathize with our weaknesses because this high priest, in every respect, has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews goes on to say, "Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And because the apostle Peter had received mercy and found grace after denying Jesus three times, he was able to approach both the throne of God and the throne of Herod with boldness. The Herod dynasty was just one big dysfunctional family. Herod the Great, he was the king when Jesus was born. He was set up in his throne by the Romans. It was Herod the Great that had ordered the slaughter of every male child under the age of two in the village of Bethlehem. He later went on to kill some of his wives and some of his sons as well. But one of the sons that survived, one of Herod the Great's sons, Herod Antipas, he was the king when Jesus was crucified. He was the king that had John the Baptist beheaded. And now another son of Herod the Great, Herod Agrippa, was on the throne and had ordered the execution of the apostle James. Now James, along with John, as well as Simon Peter, they formed this inner circle of Jesus' friends. It was always Peter, James, and John. James now was the second Christian martyr to be recorded in the book of Acts. And his execution then led to the arrest of Peter by the command of King Herod Agrippa. Luke then tells us this really vivid story about Peter's imprisonment and his subsequent escape with the help of an angel sent from God. Luke then relates what I think is one of the funniest stories in the Bible. When after escaping prison, Peter goes to where the church is meeting, Rhoda, this servant girl, is so excited that Peter has returned that she forgets to actually let him in the door. The angel was able to get Peter past the gates of the prison, but evidently not the gates of Rhoda. There are parallels between the story of Peter and the story of Jesus' arrest, death, and resurrection. Both occurred during the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Passover. Jesus was entombed in a grave. Peter was imprisoned in a fortress. Both were set free by God. And in both cases, it was a woman who heralded the good news of the resurrection or the release, yet is then ridiculed by the other disciples. There are also parallels with the Passover story in Exodus. In the story, the original story in Exodus, an angel passes over the Hebrews and kills the firstborn of the Egyptians, which leads then to the freedom for the Hebrews. And in this case, in Acts, an angel passes over the guards who are then later executed in order to free Peter. So two characters are introduced in the story who end up playing prominent roles in the early church. Luke tells us the church is assembled at the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark. Now, I might add there are many, many Marys in the history of the early church. I read in one of my textbooks from seminary that is estimated that 1 in 3 girls were named Mary in first century Judea and Galilee. Well, so this Mary was the mother of John Mark. And some scholars believe that this home of Mary was the scene of the Last Supper and later of Pentecost Sunday morning. It also seems to have served as the headquarters for the early church. Now, her son, John Mark, goes on to travel for a short time with Paul. And according to tradition, John Mark later becomes the personal secretary of Peter. And it is believed that possibly, according to tradition, that John Mark might be the author of the Gospel of Mark. As Peter is describing his ordeal to those gathered there in the house of Mary and John Mark, he instructs them to retell his story to James and the other believers. Now, this is obviously a different James than the Apostle James who was executed earlier by Herod Agrippa. This James that Peter is referring to is the brother of Jesus. Now, up until now, Peter has been the leader of the church in Jerusalem, but now he's a wanted man and he has to leave. From now on, the leader in Jerusalem will be James, the brother of Jesus. Now, there are three important points to be made about the ascension, the story of Peter's release, and in fact, really the entire story arc of the book of Acts. First concerns the power of prayer. As Jesus ascends, it would be 10 more days until Pentecost and the birth of the church. And during those 10 days, the disciples were in constant prayer. Luke tells us there in Acts that all these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. And then Luke later tells us that while Peter was kept in prison, the church prayed fervently to God for him. The early church was seeped in prayer. Prayer surrounded all the things they said and did and experienced. The power of prayer was able to overcome the power of Herod and propel the church continually forward. And we do well to remember this as we seek to be in ministry here at Trinity. I know I have spent much time in prayer the last few months as we faced the pandemic and all its implications for ministry. A second theme in Acts. Because Christ is constantly interceding for us, and the Spirit is constantly empowering us, God has the capacity to break any chain that binds us and to free us from any prison from which we are held captive. In the last few months, our entire society has felt chained by the effects of the coronavirus. Our fear of COVID-19 has left us feeling scared and vulnerable. The lockdown has made us feel almost literally chained to our house, like we've been sentenced to some kind of house arrest. In addition, we have become painfully aware of the chains of racism that have never been fully excised from the body politic. We keep tripping up as we try to live out the ideal that all are created equal. And on a personal level, all of us have certain favorite sins that chain us. Sins may be part of the top seven: wrath, greed, sloth, pride, envy, lust, and gluttony. It could be a full-blown addiction or just a bad habit. But regardless, each of us have certain specific sins or failings from which we personally find it particularly difficult to disengage ourselves. Whatever the case, whether personal or societal, freedom is possible. Like Peter, God's angel can enable us to get past all the guards that seek to keep us in chains, the chains and guards that harbor us on the inside, as well as the ones imposed by others on the outside. And finally, as we strive to break the chains that bind us, we can serve as angels in the struggles of others. How can we use our voice to advance freedom for all? Are there those within our circle of influence who are straining to be free? Do we know people who just need a hand up in order to stand up? Are there specific persons to whom God may be calling us to support and sustain as they toil toward freedom? Every day, God puts people in front of us who need our strength and help. Many times, however, we are caught up so much in our own struggles that we don't see the person who's drowning right there in front of us. I know I can sometimes be blind to the needs of others. I think we all can be. Be open to God's promptings. Keep your eyes and ears open for the groans of others. We're often in a position to help if only we can just see it and then be willing to help. But I warn you, keep in mind, we have no power to save others, because Lord knows I have tried. And no matter how much you may want to save a loved one, that power belongs only to God. But sometimes we can be the instrument through whom the Spirit does pour out divine blessing. As Jesus ascended in the eyes of the disciples, they just stood there gazing up to heaven as he slipped away. As they gazed, two men in white robes were suddenly at their sides asking, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." So, Jesus goes up, the Spirit comes down, and it's time for us to stop gazing. We've been empowered by the Spirit, and there's a kingdom that needs to be multiplied. The chains are gone. We've been set free. We have received mercy and grace before the throne of the King, and we have the angels on our side. It's time to spread the message. It's time to spread the love. And so may the Holy Spirit walk beside us as we become the hands of Christ sent to embrace a world that aches in pain. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Luke. That was beautiful. Now we come to the part of our service where we lift up our prayers and concerns to the Lord. We want to continue to be praying for Ruth D'Acenzo, who is recovering from a broken hip. We want to continue to be praying for the recent surge in COVID-19 cases here in Texas and elsewhere. We have people that we still want to be added to that list. I talked last week about my nephew's father had come down with COVID-19, but now my nephew himself has also come down with COVID-19. So I'd like to raise up a prayer for Donnie Lopez Sr. and Jr. as they recover from their time with COVID. And adding also then to the COVID, we want to continue to keep, of course, Walter Wilcox, who continues to be in the hospital, and keep him in our prayers. We want to pray then for all of those that are affected by the coronavirus and COVID-19, those with the disease, but also their caretakers and their families and the medical workers. So I will say, Lord, in your mercy, please respond, hear our prayer. So for all of those that are affected by the coronavirus and COVID-19, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We also want to lift up a prayer for this time coming forth. We need to add a prayer for everyone who's in any type of education, at any level, from kindergarten to graduate school. Because if you are listening to the news at all, you know that all sorts of decisions are having to be made now about how and where and when classes are going to resume. And nothing is for sure. Everything seems to be up in the air. And I know that's causing quite a bit of anxiety for students, for parents, for teachers, for administration and staff. And so we pray for a spirit of calm and a spirit of discernment to be upon all those who must make very important decisions in the next few days and weeks about the education of our children and our adults. So a prayer of concern then for all those involved with education. So Lord, in your mercy, but I also want to bring with you some joys we have. The Wilcox family also has a joy that Christy, their daughter and family, have arrived for an extended visit. So that's wonderful news that the Wilcox family can be able to share at this time. Also, we have wonderful news that Zachary Hills is now okay from his bout with coronavirus. Yes. And finally, that Randy Knight, who we've been praying for a heart transplant. His heart transplant has been done. It's been great, and he's going home on July 23rd. So that's been a very long haul for Randy and his family, friends, and his medical workers. So all of these are wonderful things to be thankful for. So I say, this is the work of the Lord. Please respond, thanks be to God. So all of these joys, they are in fact the work of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And as usual, we want to bless all the offerings that we have received this week. We want to offer those offerings to God for God's blessing for our ministry. And so now, with the confidence of the children of God, please join me as we pray the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Just to remind you about our pastor's Bible study every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock on Zoom. You can catch this service, my sermons, and also Bible lessons on the church podcast. Look for Jane's Most Excellent Church Adventure wherever you find podcasts. I want to remind you of our challenge to read at least one book on race during the year 2020. Also remember, we're going to be having live communion in 2 weeks, August 2nd. We'll be posting the details about this on Facebook, and it will also be in the next edition of the Trinity Times newsletter. I want to, again, welcome Luke as part of our church family. I want to let you know about something wonderful that's happening for the next 3 weeks. Wesley is going to be our preacher for the next 3 weeks. He's going to be preaching on the book of Exodus, And the title of his sermon series is going to be A Modern Day Exodus in three parts, Plague, Protest, and Progress. And I'll be starting next Sunday for the next three Sundays. And he gave me specifically,
my Lord,
a post-it that said for me to announce.
I did not say that.
Yes, you did.
No, I did not.
That this sermon series will be done by our second in command, associate pastor, Wesley McCall. So evidently Wesley has gotten a promotion I did not know about. I'll have to let the bishop know. He was not aware you are a senior pastor or associate pastor. But anyway, I'm sure that this is going to be great. I always love it when Wesley preaches, and I always love it when I get a vacation. So then, having all said all of that I think I needed to say, one last thing then. Love your neighbor, wear a mask, and then please receive this benediction. May God bless you in the week ahead, and may you be a blessing to all you encounter. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen, and go in peace. We hope you enjoyed today's service and that you experience God's blessings. Join us next Sunday here on Facebook Live at 11 a.m. Next week, we start a brand new three-week sermon series on the biblical book of Exodus entitled 2020, A Modern Day Exodus. Our director of music, Wesley McCall, will be our preacher for this series. Join us for the message, Plague. If you can't join us live, you can always listen to the recording of our service on our podcast, Jane's Most Excellent Church Adventure. God bless you in the week ahead and stay safe. We'll see you Sunday at Trinity United Methodist Church.